Let's all stand. We'll stand. We'll read our scripture and be seated. Brother Steve, for your sake, the title of this message is The Heart of the Father.
Thank you. Glory to God.
Guess we're all here now. We want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Verse 3, and this is where we will start. And said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you should not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to read that one more time. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, you be changed, transformed, and become as little children, you should not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Lift up your hands if you will. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, dear God, that the things that you put on my heart to convey to this congregation would be effective, that it would somehow change us, that it would help us to understand that we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture, that we need one another. And Lord, as you express it in your word, help me express it, not out of my own heart, but out of your spirit. Lead us and guide us by your spirit, oh God. Jesus, glory to God. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Everyone said in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You may be seated. I don't know. I hope by the end of this message I understand better why I'm so heavy this morning, or this afternoon rather. There are some things that the Lord wants me to remind you of, and for some of you, you may have never heard this, but it's regarding the ministry of this church, in a sense. I'm just going to go back a little bit, then I'm going to go forward. When I say I go back, it's because the significance of going back is to remember what you've already heard.
Yes.
So the thing that I have based my walk here in this church upon has been a word that the Lord gave to me for our pastor. And when he's, and what he does, if, and I want you to understand, is that if you're the first ones in your family that ever served this living God with the Holy, having the Holy Ghost, I don't care what the church you've been in, but if you've been in this church and you're the first of your generation to receive the Holy Ghost, nothing's going to be normal. You're going to experience things you've never experienced before because it's new to you. There was not someone ahead of you, a father or mother, that could have said, this is what your walk with God is going to be like.
Right.
So it's all going to be new to you. And when I see people come, that keep coming back to church, there's a desire in me to plead with you, to get connected. And some of you will actually be here for a season and leave, and when you come back, I know you're supposed to be here. You may not even know why you're here. But you have a testimony that God is building in your soul. And you don't even see it. But keep coming back. Keep drinking of that fountain, no matter if it's a little bit. Because even a little thirst that you have, God can make you more thirsty. It can cause you to want more. And sometimes some of us don't make up our minds quickly. And we find ourselves going out back into the world that we came out of and letting it whoop up on us. Letting it do what it's always done to us, where we thought we were strong enough to take it. But for some reason, when you went back out, it was a little harder that time, and it was a little rougher that time, and you ran back to the church. You're not weak when you run back to the church. You just found something there that you don't find out there.
Yes,
You need to understand that God will allow you to go through things because this is not about one person. It's about all of us. But he will do whatever it takes to get you in here so that you make you have every opportunity to make up your mind to serve the living God. He's not a dead God. And see, it takes something for God to take away the layers that are in your life. Because see, when you come out of the world, you come in here with something that the world doesn't want even. It doesn't want you. You can spend your time out there thinking that, well, I'm grown, or I can do this, I'm an adult, I can make my own decisions. But when you come under the umbrella, as it were, as you come under the church, it's a whole different story. Your life will never be the same. God will do whatever it takes to break you. Because it's like a child. The Bible, there's a teaching, or there, I shouldn't say teaching, a reality that even a sheep, if it goes astray and it has a shepherd that cares about it, the shepherd will literally break that calf or the sheep's leg so that it will be completely dependent upon the shepherd. So don't think that God won't break you so that you're completely dependent upon the shepherd, because he knows what it would look like for you to end up in hell. Yes. But you don't, because you never and never will ever experience that. And because he can't, you may not have sought after him and wondered or known what it was like to suffer in hell. He doesn't want you to go there. Yes. So therefore, he's willing to break your leg. He's willing to hurt you. Yes. And you might say, that sounds cruel. I'd rather be hurt in this life than entered in the other life, maimed and broken and not together the way God wants me to be. Yes, that's why the Bible says that it's better to enter into the eternal life if something in your body offends you. To pluck, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It sounds kind of harsh. But what if you think about it, and you've heard these stories of these rescue stories where people literally have been in a situation where they had a broken leg, or they were trapped under a rock, or they were in a position where they knew if they stayed in that position that they were not going to live. And they end up severing off their own limb so that they can save a whole body. That's what I'm talking about. There's some things that you have to sever in your life in order for you to live. I don't know why I'm so heavy. I really don't. Let's stand up again and pray. Because see, sometimes you can hear the preached word and not believe it. Sometimes you can hear the preached word and not believe it's for you. Let's just lift up our hands and start to worship God if you don't mind. Join with me, all right? Ask God to soften our hearts. Sometimes we just don't get it. You feel like you're hearing the same old thing all over again. And you don't get the importance of the fact that God is trying to change something in you. He's trying to break something in you. He's trying to mold you. But he has to start all over again. And he's willing. You see, if you've never been a parent, you won't understand it. But if you have been a parent, you have to understand that sometimes you make some hard or harsh decisions and choices for your children so that they might be saved, so that they might be delivered, so that they might live. Sometimes you say no when you don't want to say no. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Give him thanks. Give him glory. Glory to God. I'm not going to belabor this any further. You can be seated. You can be seated. Thank you. So when you come into the body of Christ, as you've been taught and you're going to be continually taught that someone paid a price for you to come. Someone paid a price in order for you to be in the body of Christ. And I'm talking to you about the heart of your Father, which is in heaven. Not the fall, and I'm very grateful. God even brought it back to my remembrance again. There have been people in my life that said, "You're like a father," and I appreciated that word. But I've understood. But there's but one Father.
That's right.
There is only one that when you're sleeping, He never slumbers.
Yes.
You see, don't ever put yourself in a position to take away something that belongs only to God.
Right.
Don't take away the honor that only belongs to God. If you're a husband, don't tell your wife that you can do anything that she needs, because you're not her source.
Amen.
You never will be her source. It's a blessing when God puts you together with a mate and you walk through this life in agreement and in love and whatever God allows you to, whatever grace that God gives you to live together. But if you don't have that, there's still a grace upon your life. It's still, He is still your God. He's still your Father.
Yes.
And I'm grateful for God being my Father, because see, growing up, he's taught me that I may not have learned to honor my earthly father, but even in that, His word tells me, he says, "Children, honor your mother and your father." No matter how you deem him unworthy, or what he's ever done to you, or whatever you thought he did to you, or because you are unhappy with where he treated you, or where you felt in your home,
yes,
has nothing to do with you honoring him.
Right.
You've got to turn away from your own thinking and walk in the Word of God, which says to honor your mother and your father.
Yes.
Most of our struggles in this walk with God is because we don't know what the Word of God says.
Yes.
If you don't know what it says, you're going to walk contrary to it. And so the heart of a father is to tell you, just as Sister Jay had mentioned earlier, and you've heard it over and over again, get in the Word. And then you'll know what God's heart is. Not just towards you, but how we should treat one another. I am at a place where I was sharing with you earlier, the Lord told me to go back. When I mentioned Pastor Marquise, there was a word that the Lord had given me for him. And when I gave it to him, I didn't know the impact and how it would affect my life. There's a reason I say that. You, as you're sitting here, may not know how important the person sitting next to you is. You have no idea the person next to you could be your deliverance. And you may not even know that. But God does. So He allows us to be in relationship with one another, not knowing the value of those relationships. I was around Pastor Marquise before he was my pastor. I didn't know him as a friend, but I knew him as a brother in the Lord, and I've never had, there's never been anything in our relationship or in my walk with God that's caused me to question his integrity or anything about him. He was just a good person. And that's how I've known him all since the first time I met him. Now, I will tell you this. God never told me, not once, to join myself to this man. Not once. He did tell me to join myself to another man. And when I say join myself, I mean that he wanted me to follow that pastor's ministry, to be a part of it. And see, I can't tell you how important it is to pray and ask God what it means when he says something to you. You see, because we can think for ourselves, many times we don't become as a child. But we say, well, I know what God said. He said, join myself to that man. Now, if I would have went to that pastor, which I didn't, and said, the Lord told me to join myself to you, he probably would have looked at me like, okay. Because we don't always know what the Spirit is trying to communicate to us. We don't always know. Don't assume you already know. If it's spiritual, the Bible says that he's given us his Spirit that we might know all things. So that means we go back to the Spirit, or we go back into prayer, or we go back and pray and fast and seek God for what the meaning of what he showed us is. I didn't do that with that word that the Lord gave me for Pastor Marquise. But one of the things he said was that he would be like Caleb. Joshua, I'm sorry, I said the wrong one. Gosh. Joshua, the other brother was Caleb. And so anything that God speaks and you believe that he has spoken it is going to manifest itself in some way. I'm not trying to share with you the importance of what you hear, because it's going to manifest itself in some way, shape, or form. And so as Joshua, if you read the story about Joshua, we think of Joshua, Joshua is not just, he was not only called to bring the people of Egypt, of Israel, out of Egypt, but he was also, he brought himself out. He followed after God, and he came out of the things that had kept them back from receiving what God had intended for them in the beginning. Amen? You know the story. You know the story. They were in captivity. Moses set them free. Joshua was the one who came after Moses, and he led his people out. And so with this ministry, if you have been stuck somewhere in your life, this ministry is supposed to lead you out of it. You guys don't believe me.
I'm all with it.
You really don't. I wish that God would bring to your remembrance or to your thinking places where you've been, but since you've been here, you come out of them. I wish you could really see it and acknowledge it, because that's where Thanksgiving comes from, when you say, "Where I was here once." And see, I'll even tell you the day, I still remember the day that I was in their living room and I was talking to Pastor Marquise, and Sister Jay was not a part of the conversation, but she was off in another room, and she came through, and people often say this, but she said, not the Holy Ghost led her to say, "You know in your heart where you're supposed to be. It's always your decision where you're going to be." But he said, "You already know in your heart where you're supposed to be." And I started coming here. And ever since then, I've been employed. When I say I've been employed, when you come into the body of Christ, God has something for you to do. I've been telling Pastor Marquise for years, "Yeah, I'm supposed to be preaching." And then he said, "Well, you said it, so now you're going to start doing it." What? Just because I said it? Just because I believed it? But see, maybe next year. You only have so many next years. Get busy. Don't hold back the things that God is telling you to do, because what will happen is that you'll begin, as the Bible says, to devour one another. "Well, this sister ain't doing nothing. This brother ain't doing nothing. This sister ain't doing nothing. This brother's not doing nothing." You start looking at everybody else. It's a natural course of things. You'll find fault with everything that goes on here because you're not doing anything.
Let's go.
Think about it. Because see, if you say that God is, see, when God calls you into his kingdom and he gives you the gifts of his spirit, those gifts are for the body. And if you're here and you're not operating those gifts, you begin to devour one another. You begin, there was a sister. She was sitting about where you are right now. No, you're not her. But it was so odd because, see, when you start praying and you start seeking God, sometimes what I feel about you isn't always going to be good. Not because she's not good, but because my discernment is showing me that she's struggling with something. And I'm grateful that in this body, when I've struggled with something, there was always someone to go to. There was always someone that could say, "I don't have to hide. But I can say, hey, brother, hey, sister, can you guys pray with me? I'm struggling with something." And even in that, you see, I've never, since I've been in this church, ever tried to draw people to me. Because I've learned this about myself. When God shows me something, he only shows me in part. The Bible says that when you prophesy in part. You don't have the whole picture. Now, this is what my experience been dealing with those two. I'm going to tell on them for a second. Because, see, it's not just a prophetic word that comes out of him, but then she comes alongside him and gives the rest of it, the wisdom behind it. Now, I was bound in a particular sin, and when I had gone to them, they said, "First, you got to fast." I was willing to do that, and I did fast, and I did go to their home, and I did pray with them. But they said, "If you go back into this, it's because you want to go back into it. If you get bound again, it's because you want to be bound." That's for all of us in here. You don't have to be bound by anything. Anything. You don't have to be afraid of anything, because God has given you everything you need in the body. But it says in chapter 18, I'm still in Matthew, verse 3, it says, "And say verily unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, And God had me meditating and thinking and praying about this, and I'm still like, Lord, I know there's something I'm not getting. Become like children. Become dependent. A child is dependent, right? A child needs instruction, right? A child needs so much that they don't possess, but sometimes they feel like they possess it. Sometimes they can be a little overconfident and think they can do so much when they can't. We can be the same way. Think about it. And so it says, except it be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't want to be left outside. And see, some of you might look at other people and say, I think or I believe that person is blessed, but I don't feel that I'm blessed. Maybe you're not really in the kingdom like you think you are. Maybe there's some commitments that you haven't made that he's just waiting for you to make up your mind about. Maybe there's some sin that you haven't said no to yet. You see, the more you let go of in this world and in this life, the more glory shows up in your life. The more light's in your life. The more love and hunger for the word of God's in your life. The more you let go of what's in the world. Amen? Yeah. Then we go to verse 4. It says, whosoever therefore shall humble themselves as a little child. That's one thing that you know about children. When they're humble, you ask questions. When you're humble, you seek for answers. And you don't assume you know everything. When you're humble, you allow someone to pour into your life and not think that you're going to get it all on your own. Okay. So when, and it's been very few times that I have missed men's fellowship, it was always something else that I felt was more important. And then God always brought it back to me and showed me this is the idol, or this is the job, or this is the thing that you made more important than me. And I want you to know that we serve a jealous God. Yes. And when I say jealous, if you think a man can be jealous, God is more jealous. If you think a woman can be jealous, God is much more jealous, because he will not share you with anyone. That's how important you are to him. Because see, it was enough for him to go to the cross and die for your sins, but then you turn around and go back to it? That's why he instructs us to love him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. But his heart is not, he will not force him. He will not force you to love him.
That's right.
It's just not his nature. But he will continue to love you up to the very end of your life and beyond. He doesn't rejoice over us when we do evil, when we choose evil, but he will use that instance or our circumstance or our situation that we allowed ourselves to be in and show us his goodness, how he can keep us. In verse 4 it says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of God. And whosoever shall receive such a little child in my name receiveth me. And when I was reading that, I was like, Lord, do you know how important it is for you to receive someone else in this body? For you to actually love someone else? For you to receive them? To accept them in the body? For you not to ignore them? Don't let people come into the house of God and you not acknowledge them. And just think they're not important, because you never know what role they'll play in your life. You just don't know. And God doesn't have to reveal it to you. He'll wait. And see, you have to be careful how you treat one another. Why? Because how you treat them is how you treat God. People don't believe that, but he says it right here. He said, whoso shall receive one little child in my name receiveth me. That's in verse 5. Everything that you do, think about it. I'm doing this as unto God. That sounds kind of strange to think of that person that you're talking to. It takes away a little harshness, don't it? It helps you show a little more mercy, doesn't it? It helps you to understand that that God is very serious about the relationship that we have with one another, because if we discount them, we don't want him to discount us. I can guarantee you, before you're done, before we get called to heaven, someone here will be offended by someone else. I can almost guarantee it. But see, if you get offended, this is what God is trying to teach you. to be one of two things. You have to learn to extend forgiveness. And the two reasons why you extend forgiveness is why you're going to be one or the other. You're going to for you can release yourself. And if it doesn't work the first time, you're going to keep doing it. It's going to keep happening so that you learn to release people when they offend you. So you learn to release people when they've trespassed against you, or they've done something that offended you, or something you did not like, because God is really trying to show you them as a mirror so that you see what's in you. Your unwillingness to forgive, your unwillingness to let go of things, your unwillingness is not God's. God is ready to teach you how to forgive and to release yourself from things. And if it's just not releasing, it also comes to the point where you want to be reconciled. In relationships, when I say reconciled, that means that we're still good. Some of you love that part where it says, well, I can forgive, but I don't have to forget. That shows you your heart as well. Oh, I can forgive you, sister or brother, but I don't have to forget about what you did. What are you holding on to? Of what value is what you're holding on to? Now, if let's think about it. Just go back a little bit. Let's go back to the cross. I can forgive them, but I'm going to hold on to it. So when they mess up again, I'm going to bring it back up. When I see them, I'm not going to want to have fellowship with them. He had to forgive from the heart so that he can approach you. He had to forgive from the heart. And he's teaching us to be like him. Because the Bible says, they shall know you. They shall know the love of God by the love. I'm sorry, they shall know him by the love they have one for another. You can't say you love somebody and you're still holding on to what they did against you. Be real. And if you can't forgive from the heart, that's where you need to really spend a lot of time praying and saying, God, I haven't forgiven them from the heart. And it may not have just started with them. They just may be one of the ones. One of the ones that hurt me in the past. One of the ones that kept this going on. Because it's not so much that they hurt you. It's how you were hurt and how you didn't know how to deal with it. And God is trying to help you deal with what is in your past so that you might walk with him differently, because he has more for you. Yes. If you don't get past this one, how can you go to the next? Yes. He's trying to grow you up. He's trying to mature you. But you have to suffer. And we don't like that word. Who wants to suffer? Do you know when Paul was called to God's kingdom, when he had that Damascus, Damascus, come on, experience with God, and God, and he was blind for a season. One of the things that the Lord said about him was that I will tell him the things that he's going to suffer for my name's sake. Suffer. Can we suffer a little bit when we consider what he went through? Can we suffer so that someone else can grow up? Can we suffer so that someone learns their lesson? Because sometimes we suffer so that someone else can change. God is not willing that any should perish. And so sometimes he can put you in a situation where, just think, when you learn to forgive from the heart, you overcome. And the Bible tells me that when we overcome, we not only overcome in our own lives, but the Bible says that we overcome by the word of our testimony. I'm sorry, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I want our testimonies in this house to be that I overcame in an area of my life where I found myself not being able to forgive. I overcame that. I overcame the fear. I walked in fear most of my life. But when I came here, I started seeing a pattern. And that's why I say the anointing that is on our pastor, you have to understand that it's for the body that he's governing, that he's ruling over. And it doesn't. I know you don't like those words, but nevertheless, when you have a pastor and he's walking in a particular anointing, you have to have an expectation that whatever I'm in, God's going to bring me out of. And if you don't believe that, you'll stay stuck and not look for a place where God will bring you out of something. If you were once fearful and you come under this ministry, what God's intention is that you learn to overcome fear. Overcome any sexual addiction. Overcome things in your life that you didn't overcome before. He doesn't ever want you to stay stuck, because that's your promise to be on the other side of it. That's your promise. Oh, I don't know what the promise of God means. So that you're not the same. That people can see the light of God in you because you've changed. You're not walking around with that burden anymore that you used to carry. You're not walking in jealousy. You're not walking in fear. You're not walking in your insecurities. So what have you overcome lately? If you haven't overcome something, you need to go back in your prayer closet and say, God, search my heart and show me what needs to change in me so that you're reflected in me. I can't love people because I don't trust them. Then you need to get back in your closet and say, God, help me to trust people again. And then show me where I stopped trusting people. Why don't I trust people? I went through thank you, Father. This is the time where I get to share this part. Sometimes, because we are spiritual, we can feel the presence of a spirit on another person, right? You can tell when someone's jealous of you. You can tell when someone's envious of you. You can tell when someone doesn't like you, because you have a spirit. And that spirit that's in you is discerning. It tells you good and evil. I even got to a place where I had to pray. I said, Lord, if someone's heart is not right towards me, would you please show it to me when I'm in their presence? And I was so shocked. People that I thought would be fine with me weren't. But I'm all right with that, because my relationship with them has no bearing on what my relationship with God is. I first must be connected to God so that he can show me things about people, not so that I just know them, just so that I can be careful. Because I tell my wife the other day, everybody's my friend. And everybody can't be your friend. Right. I trust people too easily. I'm serious. Too easily. I got myself in some situations. If I had not trusted them in the beginning, I would have never gone that far into that relationship. But I just trust everybody too quickly. So I go to church, and I go through a period of persecution, not from the outside, but from the church. And when you're persecuted in your body, or you feel like something's coming against you, I never knew that that was to make me stronger. I was trying to abandon that church. I was ready to leave, but God didn't say yes yet. He didn't say go. So I had to bear it. I had to suffer a while. It was to make me understand that it was necessary, if I believe I'm giving somebody a word from God, that I will go back in prayer and say, Lord, if this is you, confirm it. If it's not you, help me not to be a false prophet. Help me not to be someone that gives false words. Help me not to say things that are not of your spirit. Because in the Bible, it shows me that those that are false prophets, God destroyed them. You see, you ought to have some fear. If you read the word of God, there should be a little fear in you about some situation that you can find yourself in. There should be some fear in you when you see that God does judge. That he doesn't just give you a pat on the back. He doesn't encourage you in an evil thing. But he'll also show you how to walk in your gifting, so you can be perfected in your gifting, so that it truly does equip the body of Christ to be what is all that it's supposed to be. Not that you will wound anyone, that you won't cause someone to be stagnant, that you won't cause someone out of timing to go forward when they should be sitting down and learning and getting their character built up. And changing and becoming more than what they think they can become. Because sometimes we're ready to go and we're not really ready. So, as we proceed, as we go forward in this walk, in this church, I am reminded of the anointing. And I'm reminded that at some point I said, Lord, I don't want to go and start a church. I don't want to go someplace else. As God allows me to, I will minister here. But our plans are not always God's plans. And when he gives you an opportunity, this is the first time in the 20, 30 years I've been serving the Lord that a pastor has confirmed the very thing that he showed me. First time. The dream that Pastor Marquis shared with you last week was about us being, him, first of all, but us being stressed, right? Now, I was confused for a moment until God brought back to my remembrance this one thing. If you can get a picture of this, I'm walking past a building in downtown Denver, and I keep passing by the building. Out of curiosity, I look up at the building, there's a cross on top of it, and I wonder when they redevelop that building, are they going to take out the cross and make it a studio or whatever? And what I had forgotten was this. Before God spoke to me, he saw my heart, and this is what I mean. I want you to understand it, because God always knows your heart, amen? I've been meeting people downtown that if they had a place to be, a place to live, that I really believe they could be saved. I've literally witnessed to them, talked with them, and seen a hunger of God in them. Some of them have known about the Holy Ghost, some of them have not. But the thing that, one common thing amongst all of them was, Lord, they have no place to live. And when I said that is when the Lord said, if you ask me for it, I'll give it to you. So what I'm trying to get you to understand, when your ministry becomes people-oriented and not you-oriented, God will give you what you want. When you stop saying, oh, I'm going to do this for my family. No, your family's already covered. When you have his heart and his burden and you want to do it his way, that's what he can say to you. If you ask me, I'll give it to you. So I kept looking at this building. I'm walking past it, looking at it. I walked around the block. I wasn't looking for a building. I was just curious. I go into this building, and this young man that I've been talking to, I've mentioned his name various times in this church, and I've said things about him. And I've learned that if you are brought out of Egypt, but you're still living in Egypt, yes, it's hard to make it.
Yes.
But if you get yourself in an environment where the word of God is important, where people are praying and fasting and walking with God and have some semblance of life in them other than what the street has taught you or what you've learned out there or in your own household, if something's different, you can be saved a lot easier. Now, I'm not saying you've got to have a new place to live, but it sure helps. These people I met were always living in someone else's house or someone else's dwelling place. I said, Lord, if they just need a place to live, and that's when he said, if you ask me, I'll give it to you. Now, I have this habit, Pastor, of talking to people that have more faith than I do. First thing come out of people's mouth, well, did you ask?
Right.
I know all you guys most of it. And the most powerful thing to me was this. I wish I could replay at this moment Pastor Marquise's dream, because it was in the very place that I had seen, that I've been walking past. And he and I had never talked about it. And why is that significant? Because I want you to know, God's given me visions and dreams of places on my walk. First time I've ever got a confirmation from a man of God. And I want to say this to you, is that that's why you pray for your leadership, so that God can bring us into alignment of his will. Some of you have done things secretly. When I say secretly, you know what you've been doing. You've been praying for folks and getting in their business and praying and loving on them and sharing with them what God has done, the Lord, to them. And you don't realize God's trying to show you that that's what a body looks like. That's how we come together, when we encourage one another. And even though you know things about each other, and you can say, and even in your own mind, this person, I love them to death, but they're not ready for the things of God yet because they haven't made their mind yet. But Lord, give me a heart to pray for them. Give me a heart to hold on to them. Don't let them go. Because see, if they go out there, they'll be destroyed. There's nothing for you out there. There's no hope for you out there. There's no peace for you out there. And God was patient enough to let you come full circle. You got back to here, and you can say, now he was right. He was right what he said, that there's nothing out there for me. And I'm so grateful I've come back and the church is still here. The church is still worshiping. The church is still praying. The church is still what it was when I left, if not in a greater measure. There's so much power in this house. There really is. It's a lot of power because you have faith and you have love one for another. But you haven't seen it demonstrated yet to its full capacity. But when the Bible, when our pastor comes in front of us and says God is stretching him, believe me, he's stretching you too. And it's not about what you want. It's how do I line up? How do I line up? And I don't feel it today, but I think it was a week ago. And I don't know why this happens so often. And I could be wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. Sometimes I feel Sister Jay's burden. I could be wrong. I could be completely off kilter. But if you ever have wanted something to be greater than what it is, if you've ever wanted, it's almost like, I'm not going to show them how I feel, but I'm going to keep praying and believing God that he's going to do something in their lives so that they can see who they are or be different than what they are. I walked in the house the other day in my own home, and the Lord spoke to me about something about my wife. He said, she's looking for something different, or she needs something different. I believe our pastor and our pastor's wife needs to see something different in us. Some struggles need to be over. Some things need to be let go of. Because that demonstrates the power of God in your life. It's like when you let go of something, you know God's going to replace it with something else. He can't do all that he wants to do in you if you're holding on to your past, if you're holding on to your sin, if you're holding on to your ways of thinking. If you don't allow God to transform you, you're still the same. And he can't use, that's why he says, I can't put new wine into old wineskins. You're just an old wineskin. And what an old wineskin is for is to be thrown away. He doesn't want to throw you away. Because he's a redeemer. Yes. And God is not mocked. He said, I can fix this. I can do something. But first, you have to say yes to me. Yes. You have to say, Lord, I want the new wine. Yes. I want the new perspectives. Yes. I want the newness of life. You know, yes. I've been in church for many years, and I didn't hear that, well, one time from Sister Dawn. I was like, newness of life? That's in the Bible? I thought there was some new age. Shows my ignorance. I read the Bible many times, but I didn't know the newness of life. But I never let go of it when I heard it. God wants you to have a new life, but you've got to be willing to acknowledge the old and let go of it. And so that's why it says press towards the mark of the high calling of God. He's calling you to higher things. He's calling you to walk in a different way. He's calling you to be something different. But that's the heart of the Father. My goodness. He wants us to be different in the inside. Not just the outer appearance. When I first came to church, it was so much about the outer appearance. The length of your hair, the length of your dress, the length of your sleeves, the things you didn't do. But the heart was still not changed. Now he wants the heart changed.
Yes.
And where does he place his spirit? In our hearts. And if you're treating people in your household, in your church, in ways you've been treating people, you might check yourself.
Yes.
You might say, Lord, is this right?
Yes,
Jesus. Is it right?
Yes, Jesus.
When I get hurt and I isolate myself? Is it right? Because see, if you have patterns in your life, I can't tell you, I don't like going back, because I talk about that a lot, don't I? I don't like going backwards. But just recently, the Lord had me call my brother up and say, you know what? What was it like for you growing up in our household? Because God's trying to help me reach him. And so I have to go back there. And I'm willing to go back there for him. And see, the thing about it was that we were a family that grew up, and none of us ever said, I love you. Nobody. I'm kidding. I'm serious. Nobody in our household said, I love you. And you might not think that's important. But what was so interesting to me is that when my father passed, that happened, My youngest brother, Chuck, went with my older sister on a road trip. And after traveling down this road, they're going down to this trip, along the ride, he just breaks down, Pastor. He just starts weeping and crying in the car. And it was after my father had passed. And the thing that came out of his mouth was, he never told me that he loved me. He never said it. That 40-year-old man still needed someone to tell him, I love you. And so it went on all those years until my father's gone and my mom's still alive. And I didn't know this. I knew nothing about this. And I'm telling you this because sometimes you're going to be in the midst of your family and something's going to rise up in your spirit and you need to know that it's the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I'm standing there in the dining room of our home and my sister and my mother are talking together. And I just felt the Holy Ghost. And he said, and the Lord told me to tell my mother, don't you go to your grave without telling your son, Chuck, that you love him. And I was like, where did that come from? And then my sister tells me the story about on the road trip. See, the Holy Ghost knows how to get where you can't go. And you have him in you. So you can't be defeated. You can't lose. You already have victory. It's just getting to where God, when you come into alignment, into agreement with God, there is nothing that is impossible to you. There's healing, there's restoration, there's hope, there's love, there's mercy, there's grace. He has so much, I can't even tell you all that he has for you. But he has it for you. But you've got to let go of some things. And if some things are hard to let go of, I pray to God that you don't keep coming back here and saying, I can't let go of this, and you never studied it. I can't let go of the sin. Even with the Word of God, and find out what the sin is, and whatever description God has to give you, and how to overcome it. If you haven't done the work, why should you be free? Because your freedom also is freedom for others.
Amen.
Your freedom is freedom from someone else as well. So if you don't know how you got free, if it didn't mean enough to you to study it or to work it out with God, because he says we are laborers together, doesn't mean it's just laboring together out in God's kingdom, but it also means that if I have an issue or a problem in my life, God can help me work it out. He's there for you. Don't forsake him. Don't just say, well, I'll get through it. You're not that strong, and you don't have that much time. So I'm grateful for dreams and visions, because the Bible says that I will speak to my people in dreams and in visions. Let's all stand. He says, I will speak to my people in dreams and in visions. And since I've been a part of this body, he has not stopped giving dreams and visions. Amen? And those things are meant to do what? To give us instruction and help us on our way.
Amen.
God is good.
Out of time.
And his mercy endured forever. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Keep us walking in your ways and in your paths. As you walk in his paths, they become lighter. Keep praying for the things that Pastor has mentioned as far as us receiving a building from God, being able to minister to those that we can minister to. There are unique people in this body that have the ability to minister to others like no other church that you've ever been in. And because of that, he wants to make you mobile. He wants to allow you to grow, and he's going to stretch you. And we welcome that, Lord. Some of us are going to be a little uncomfortable, but Lord, we're willing for you to stretch us to be different and not to walk in our old ways. We're grateful, Father. Thank you that I have a place to come to worship you, to give you glory and honor, to see my family. Working out their own salvation with fear and trembling, walking in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, growing in grace, growing in the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We keep walking with you. We keep learning about you. You keep revealing yourself to us. And you just want to take us to a greater place where you can show us your glory, so that we might believe and trust in you in even a greater and deeper way. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity.